This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, Major News with Major Garrett with Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. It's Thursday after the 10:30 news, and we always visit with the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News. His book is The Big Truth, Upholding Democracy in the Age of the Big Lie. And he has a podcast called The Agent of Betrayal and another one that he refuses to tell us about. Major Garrett is with us on KMOX. Good morning, Major.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Any updates on that?
Stay tuned.
Okay, stay tuned.
Oh, man, this guy.
I know. He's
pins and needles.
Really keeping it close to the vest. I don't blame him.
Major Pins and Needles Garrett.
that's exactly what it is. All right, so right now it looks like the Senate is voting on RFK Jr. on his confirmation. I don't know, just it feels like all of these cabinet picks are going to go through. Is there any reason to think one of them is not?
No, there isn't. There was for a couple of wobbly weeks with the Senate Republicans reviewing the qualifications and the underlying politics. And Senate Republicans, almost to a person, there are a couple of exceptions, have basically decided Trump won the election. He's very powerful politically. The country in the main is okay with the start of his administration. And they would take tremendous risks blocking confirmation for any of these cabinet nominees. And so they're not. There's one no vote against Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that I've detected so far, Mitch McConnell, but he will be confirmed. Kash Patel, as FBI director, just made it through the Senate Judiciary Committee. And about 3 weeks ago, if you were to try to deduce or analyze which might be the most vulnerable, you would have said Kash Patel, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Tulsi Gabbard. Well, Gabbard was confirmed yesterday, sworn in. Kennedy is just confirmed, will be sworn in later this afternoon at the White House. And Kash Patel also looks on his way to confirmation. So it will probably be a clean sweep for President Trump.
Yeah.
And real quick, as we sit here, they have just confirmed Robert Kennedy.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. And Major, as you mentioned, some of the names that were wobbly at first, I was surprised by Tulsi Gabbard, just because it's out there. It's out there that she visited Assad and doubted U.S. intelligence, that Assad wasn't that bad, that she, for everyone from Mitt Romney to Mitch McConnell, have said she parrots Putin's propaganda straight from the Kremlin. Obviously, we know how she feels pro-Edward Snowden. Why would our allies now feel particularly comfortable sharing intelligence with us?
They very well might not, and this is going to be an important issue. Now, as soon as she was confirmed and sworn in, Tulsi Gabbard flew to the Munich Security Conference to try to have those face-to-face encounters to reassure potentially nervous allies about intelligence sharing and her orientation to that. You know, her message might very well be that was then, this is now. I work for President Trump. President Trump wants this relationship with you. He has this understanding of our intelligence sharing agreements. And everything President Trump says is what I'm going to do. And my past statements or my past curiosities or the passes I gave ideologically or otherwise to Assad, Edward Snowden, don't matter. What matters is I work for Trump. Trump is the interlocutor that you need to worry about, not me. I will take his direction and carry out my obligations accordingly. That may or may not reassure European allies, but what is now fundamentally clear is she's the director of national intelligence. And that is not as important as being the director of the CIA. It's not as important as being defense secretary. The director of national intelligence is essentially a super bureaucrat that oversees all the intelligence gathered by 14 different agencies. They can be a powerful advocate to the president, but not necessarily. It's entirely up to the president how powerful Tulsi Gabbard is or isn't going to be. We'll find out about that. But she's in. Trump got exactly what he wanted. And of any of the nominees a couple of 3 weeks ago, none looked more uncertain for confirmation than Tulsi Gabbard. The fact that she got through tells you Senate Republicans may individually cross Trump on one or another confirmation, but there has not been any desire to block a confirmation and deny Trump what he wants, because Senate Republicans have probably wisely calculated the political blowback would be so severe as to possibly jeopardize their future in the Senate, and that's not a risk they're willing to take.
Major Garrett with us on KMOX, and this week there was a video of Elon Musk, who about for 40 minutes answered questions from reporters inside the Oval Office as President Trump sat at the desk there. And this is all because of his DOGE efforts to cut spending in the federal government. There's the $400 million vehicle contract that apparently was awarded to Tesla from the government, but then that Tesla has been removed from, the website. What exactly is going on with that contract, and is Tesla benefiting from it?
So I don't know. We haven't, to my knowledge, at CBS confirmed that the State Department is, in fact, going to buy $400 million in Tesla Cybertrucks via a contract with Tesla. If it does, that contract probably would have been in the pipeline for some period of time, or it might have just happened with the Trump inauguration. I don't know. That would be conspicuous. It would certainly raise eyebrows and raise questions about the relationship. But there are already questions about the relationship between Elon Musk and this effort. Elon Musk is not only the world's richest man, he is an ongoing contractor with as many companies with the federal government. There means, therefore, there could be potential conflicts of interest. Even if Elon Musk does not personally, in the immediate time, benefit from all this information that he is gathering about the innards of the federal government, he could downstream. We've talked about this before. He now has access to every federal payout, which means he has access to every federal payout to every contractor. Well, some of those contractors are direct competitors of his. Now, he may say, look, I know everything I need to know about my competitors, and I'm better than them, and I'll always beat them. Fine. But everyone in this business of competing for federal contracts wants a competitive advantage. And there's no better advantage than knowing everything about the payouts to your competitors, when they get them, what the amounts are, how they got them in the first place. That's information Elon Musk now has. And the White House answer to this is, well, just trust us. If there's a conflict that bothers us, we'll stop it. But we don't know what bothers the White House. And Elon, quite clearly, with not just one but two executive orders, has been empowered by this president to go anywhere and search out anything and try to stop payments if he can.
Major, we've been talking about the overreach of the executive branch, Congress sometimes just bowing to the side and letting the president do the work, and that this executive branch overreach has been happening for multiple administrations. Obviously, you've had a long career in politics. How have you seen the executive branch change, if at all, over the course of your career?
Well, look, every president I've covered wanted more authority and more power to put their ideas more rapidly into place. Paul Begala, who worked for Bill Clinton, famously said, after Republicans took control of the House and the Senate in the 1994 midterms, dramatically slowing Bill Clinton's legislative agenda, that it was important for President Clinton to use executive orders because they set things in motion and became almost law. And he had a famous saying, stroke of the pen, law of the land. Pretty cool. Okay. That idea, stroke of the pen, law of the land, pretty cool, flowed from Bill Clinton to George W. Bush to Barack Obama to Donald Trump to Joe Biden and back now to Donald Trump. The idea that through executive power, you can change the orientation because the federal government touches so much in life and not be slowed down or irritated or frustrated by the necessary log rolling and compromising you have to do with Congress. It gets you some distance. It doesn't get you all the way to where you want to go. Legislative compromises are the things that work and last the longest. American history tells us that over and over again. But every president I've covered has become more and more enamored of and tempted by using executive power. And look, for this administration, they campaigned and told the country they're going to scale back the federal government. The executive branch is something the president has a lot of sway over, constitutionally and otherwise. So there may be, and there have been, legal challenges, but lots of the constitutional history and precedent is on the side of the White House here. The White House can exercise lots of authority over executive branch agencies. That's what the president's trying to do. Congress may or may not push back. I don't see very much coming from Republicans. And so this is consistent with a pattern. It's just faster and more aggressive, for sure, than any other previous administration I've covered.
Well, you mentioned that some of the courts have blocked some of these executive orders, at least temporarily. And J.D. Vance tweeted about how, you know, the judges and how the judges shouldn't get, and I'm paraphrasing him, that they shouldn't have that authority to block whatever, you know, the president wants to do. So I envision that that's laying groundwork for something. What would that be?
Well, look. What J.D. Vance said on social media is important. He said courts should not overrule the legitimate power of the president. And the load-bearing phrase there is legitimate power of the president. The presidency is not a non-entity in our three-tiered form of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. It's an important one, a very powerful one, and become more powerful in the 20th and 21st century than it was in the 18th and 19th century.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I don't want to say that J.D. Vance is setting America up for some sort of idea where the Trump administration would unilaterally ignore federal judicial orders. It hasn't so far. It's abided by every single one. He has toyed on podcasts with the idea of just ignoring it, telling an apocryphal story that Andrew Jackson never said about a Supreme Court ruling dealing with Cherokee Indians in Georgia. That's become kind of a fanboy thing on Trumpist podcasts. It's not real, and the Trump administration hasn't done that yet. Are they trying to lay the groundwork for that? I don't know. What I do know is checks and balances are real. Right now, this administration is adhering to every temporary restraining order and federal judge maneuver. They waited for the judge to assess the legality of the buyout offer. It took a couple of weeks, but the federal judge said, no, this is legit. 75,000 people have signed up for early retirement from the federal government, and that's proceeding apace. That's an example of a federal judge looking at it, weighing it against the law and the precedent and saying, no, this is an executive branch function. If people want to sign up for it, they can. Will they get paid? Will the things that have been promised by the administration come to fruition? That's the next part of the story.
Yeah, I think that's why two languages of the language of presidents can obfuscate the illegality or legality of something that they're doing, because Joe Biden, you know, bragged, the Supreme Court tried to block me from forgiving student debt, but I did it anyway, which implies that he illegally defied the Supreme Court when really he tried to find loopholes.
Another way to maneuver around the parameters set forth in the Supreme Court rejection of his first attempt. Exactly.
But it sounds like he was defying them.
The politics of that, by the way, blew up in his face.
Yeah.
The politics of that, as we've long discussed, never worked for the administration. I don't understand. I've never understood why they obsessed about that, because the politics were never there. Lots of people who pay their student loans didn't understand why student loans were being serially forgiven. They didn't understand why some of that forgiveness was disproportionately helping out the wealthiest college-educated people in America. Those things never made sense politically, and there was plenty of blowback. And look, President Obama did things to challenge the law and the courts. Several times were overturned. Presidents have toyed with this. George W. Bush toyed with it, famously after 9/11, in lots of different ways. So presidents come into office, and they've always, dating back to Harry Truman, been frustrated by the bureaucracy and the resistance you get from the bureaucracy. Harry Truman famously said, when Dwight David Eisenhower was about to become president, the poor guy, he's a former general. He's going to tell people to do something, and they're all going to look at him and do nothing, and there won't be a thing he can do about it, unlike when he was a general and could make things happen. So this notion that presidents have and can be frustrated by either the indifference, the slowness, or the redirection of the federal bureaucracy has been with us for a long time.
Major Garrett, anything you want to tell us about before we say goodbye? I don't mean that. I'm just saying, is there something else you want to tell us about?
Anything else?
Nothing else on my mind. Okay. We're all good.
All right. Thank you again. We'll talk next Thursday.
Keep it up.
We'll talk next week.
All right.
See you guys.